سجلوا اللي بعد. Shall we start? Let us start morning, ladies and gentlemen. And as usual, I used to remind you at the beginning of every session what happens with the last session. Probably most of you that were present in the last session remember that we were discussing the nervous system. Good. the nervous system. And we have said many things about the principles of the nervous system. It consists of three major parts. The brain, brainstem, and spinal cord. This is first. How many cells, how many neurons are there in the brain?
100 billion.
Thank you. 100 billion neurons in the brain of the human being. What are the main functions of the nervous system? Number one. Number one, sensation. Number two, motor control or movement. Number three, memory. Good. Four. Yes, good. What else? Four.
Integration.
Thank you. Integration and processing. Therefore, these are the main functions of the nervous system. Sensation. How do we perceive the different sensations in the surrounding? This is the function of the nervous system. Is it hot? Is it cold? Do you feel pain? Sometimes you see something vibrating, like the cell phone, and so forth. All of these are sensations. What we call them collectively, sensory modalities. Sensory modalities. Yeah. What is the second function? Is motor. How do we move? Whether the whole body or part of the body. Is again function of the nervous system. When you receive a sensory information, what will tell you that this is a sensation of, say, cold, or hot, or pain, or something touching your skin? It is the brain. Through which function? Yes, exactly. Thank you. Through the processing. Analysis of this information. The brain will analyze and integrate as if which part of the computer is similar in this function?
The
CPU. Very good. CPU, exactly. All of our behavior are no more than responses. Responses to what? To sensory information. You are responding to my question. To receive the sensory information through the audition, then you perceive it in the mind, integrate it, and you start responding. Okay? What else? It is only a little part of the information that is used to produce the response. But the majority will be stored. Will be stored in the brain. What for is this storage? To be used at a future time. What for? For the thinking process. Or to behave, to produce a new behavior. The very good example in this case is the young kid. When he's exposed to something hot, you will immediately respond with withdrawal of the hand. This information will be stored in the mind so that when he's exposed to the same event at a future time, he will immediately remember that this was injurious in the previous time. So he will avoid it. All of you, I'm sure all of you that have this experience with the young kids. So what we call this process of storing information as
memory.
Thank you so much. Memory. The individual parts of the nervous system, the functional units, what we call them as neurons.
Very good.
Neurons. The neurons are connected one with another through a small gap separating the two successive neurons. What we call this gap? Synaptic cleft. The synapse or synaptic cleft. A space separating the two successive neurons. Is it different?
Yes.
Yes. How many times? There are two times.
Yes.
And what is the difference between electrical and chemical?
Electrical
and neurotransmitter. Very good. Whereas in the electrical?
No
neurotransmitter. What about the distance? Is it the same?
The chemical wider.
Thank you so much. How much?
25 nanometers.
20 to 30 nanometers. Very good. 20 to 30 nanometers. Why? This is the chemical. Whereas the electrical synapse? Much narrower. Yeah. Almost 5 nanometers. That's why you don't need neurotransmitter. So what is the supplement in this case when there's no neurotransmitter? How the signal will pass from the previous to the next? This is the synaptic cleft. In the electrical synapse, there are what we call these spaces, channels. There are channels passing from the previous to the next. What for are these channels? They allow free passage of ions. In which direction? Very good, lovely. In both directions. Both directions. This is the electrical. What about the chemical? In the chemical, if this is the three, and this is the box. There is a neurotransmitter, a chemical substance released from the presynaptic neuron. And this chemical substance, the neurotransmitter, will spread through the space, synaptic cleft, wide in this case, 20 to 30 nanometers. After it spreads to the post-synaptic neuron, it will react to specific receptors. On the post-synaptic membrane. What for? What is the result of this reaction? It will create a change in the membrane permeability of this neuron, the postsynaptic neuron. As a result of this change, sodium will pass inside. Why sodium passes inside and not outside? From your nerve physiology, probably you remember that the distribution of ions is different inside and outside the cell. Regarding sodium, where is sodium present in greater concentration, inside or outside the cell? The song which I shall. Sodium is present outside the cell in much greater concentration than inside. So we can call it as extracellular ion. Whereas the opposite is true with thank you so much. What's your name?
Yeah.
As a result of increasing that permeability of this membrane of the postsynaptic neuron, sodium will enter into the postsynaptic neuron. Sodium carries positive charge. And the interior of the cell is there is excess positivity or negativity or neutral.
But
excess?
Neutral.
It is. From your nerve physiology. The interior of the cell. When the cell is at rest, the interior of the cell, there is excess negativity. And outside, there is excess positivity. So there is always a sort of two charges, two different charges, inside negative and outside positive. As if you have two electrons, or two poles. Okay. In this case, when the permeability is increased and sodium starts moving inside, carrying with it positive charges, to do what to the negative, to the excess negativity inside? To the neutralize. The more sodium enters into the cell, it will neutralize more and more negative charges inside the cell. This different distribution of ions around the membrane, inside negative and outside positive, will create a sort of electrical potential, sort of voltage in physical terms. This voltage is due to the presence of different ions, different concentrations. Inside negative, outside positive. So if you have a voltmeter passing two electrodes, one inside and one outside, it will read some degree of voltage. This voltage was measured and found to be around 70 millivolts, up to 90. It depends. What do you call this voltage? As the resting membrane closes around the membrane and it is present at rest, so it is resting membrane potential. Electrical potential present around the membrane at rest. Resting membrane potential. What is the magnitude of this resting membrane potential? I want to be out, there's nothing. You don't know what kind of charge. So this is the resting membrane potential. What is the magnitude of this resting membrane potential? Within the range of minus 70 to minus 90, depending on type of tissue, type of cells. The nerve cell is different from the muscle. Skeletal muscles are different from smooth muscles. Smooth muscles are different from cardiac muscle, and so forth. Anyhow, after the neurotransmitter spread through the synaptic drift, the space, it binds to the receptors on the postsynaptic neuron membrane, creating a change in the permeability of the postsynaptic membrane. Sodium will enter down its concentration gradient. From your chemistry, you remember movement of ions down its concentration. getting close to chances to neutralize the excess negativity. That means the potential now, the potential which was say minus 70 evolved. What will happen to this potential? It will go down. It will go down. And with the process of shift in remembrance potential, we call it as depolarization. Removal, D, to indicate the opposite of polarization. Depolarization, removal of polarity from the cell membrane. Before, this reaction was polarized. Inside negative, outside positive. Two poles. After movement of sodium, it will start depolarizing. And the magnitude of the resting membrane potential will go down, float gradually and slowly. It wasn't much, say 70 millivolt, it could be 60, 50, 30, 40, and so forth. What we call this process of change in the resting membrane potential as depolarization. Depolarization, as you have heard, is a sort of electrical movement of ions. So it is going to create a sort of current, electrical current, that will move along the action to the next, to the terminal, of course, first, and then to the next neuron. This is how the sensory information as well as motor information are carried along the nervous system to be carried from one neuron to the next and to the third and until it reaches the brain. Is this clear?
Sure.
Among the characteristics of the nervous system, especially the synapses, is number one, this synapse might undergo fatigue. You know what's fatigue?
Good.
Okay. How this synapse get fatigue? If you imagine that there are 100,000 molecules of the neurotransmitter over here. Present in the presynaptic neuron. This amount of neurotransmitter can be exhausted within minutes. Within minutes, this amount that seems to be huge, but it can be exhausted very rapidly. Because it stays in the synaptic link after being released for only a fraction of a second. Then it is gone. As a result of excessive excitation of this nerve, each excitation will release a certain amount of the neurotransmitter. The next will release another amount. The third, fourth, hundred. Eventually, the amount of the neurotransmitter inside can be exhausted. Finished. There are no more neurotransmitter inside. In this case, would it be possible for this synapse to allow passage of nerve signal from the previous to the past? By logic, no. Will no more be able to pass the sensory signal or the nerve signal from the previous to the past. In this case,
we know this synapse as fatigue.
This is very important, especially in what we call as epilepsy. What's epilepsy? Journey. Very good. Epilepsy start. Shaking? Maria is the start? Not shaking. مريض الصرع يعاني من convulsions of the muscles. The powerful and forceful muscle contractions all over the body. So you will find that the patient will convulse all of his body. But after 4 to 5 minutes, everything will settle. By itself. بعض الناس يعتقد خطا انه من الممكن ان ينشد المريض بعيد عن زميلكم واخوكم لعله يستطيع ان يحصل هذا الكونفكشن. You do nothing. Convulsion is much more forceful than you can control. You cannot control the holding. But with time, after 4 to 5 minutes only, the convulsion will disappear. Why? Because of this phenomenon. The amount of neurotransmitter released to induce muscle contraction will be exhausted after 4 to 5 minutes. So there are no more neurotransmitters. As a result, the convulsions will be. So this is the first criteria of the nervous system. Secondly, if you expose a patient to hypoxia means low oxygen. Very good. Thank you. Low oxygen will produce what? Change in the nerves. Nerves are as inside of the body. The same. There is what? What's there inside these cells of our body? There are chemical reactions. Am I right? Chemical actions in order to be produced, to go on. What does it need? It needs energy. Energy is released from the oxidation of the nutrients we take with the food. So that oxygen is required to produce energy that is needed for all of our bodily activities, not only the nervous system. So in case of low oxygen, what do you expect? The activity of the nervous system through the synapses will be the same as normal. Greater than normal or less? Choose one. Will remain the same? Or it will increase more than normal or less than normal? شارك حتى لا تنام. حتى لو خطأ. What do you expect? يا أخوان الأكسجين مفروض التحليل صح؟ هل هناك طاقة بدون أكسجين؟ ها؟ فإذا ما أكو أكسجين ما أكو طاقة معناها أن chemical reactions are all slowed down. The synaptic transmission will be slowed. هذا هو سبب فقدان الوعي في حالة التسمم بالغاز الكربون مونوكسيد. ليش يوم عليه؟ ليش يوم عليه؟ انه تسمى بالكربون مونوكسيد. Because of no oxygen. No oxygen, no oxygen. So, this is the very good example again of the diminished or decreased synaptic transmission of the nervous system as a result of decreased oxygen concentration in the atmosphere. Another characteristic. Sometimes, again, back to the same example of FPC, an epileptic patient might sit quiet, for instance, watching TV, but a movie or whatever, that changes radically. Seeing that changes rapidly. This is very dangerous to an epileptic patient. Or a flashing light, or a very dull sound, exploding for instance. These three factors can precipitate an attack in an epileptic patient. Changing scene, rapidly changing, or flashing light, or loud sound. What will happen in this case? The activity of the nervous system will be increased to be more than normal, so that the nerve cells will excite rapidly and the fit develops. What will happen in this case? These factors will increase synaptic transmission, and the nerve cells will transmit more signals to the muscles, so that the muscles will become shivering. Another characteristic. If you hyperventilate, hyperventilation means this is hyperventilation. If you repeat the process of hyperventilation for 2 or 3 minutes, what will happen? During hyperventilation, what they are doing?
They
are taking oxygen and more
energy.
No. We are taking it through respiration. We are taking oxygen inside and removing carbon dioxide outside the body. So hyperventilation would wash out excess carbon dioxide from our bodies. And if you know that carbon dioxide is the source, the main source, carbon dioxide is the main source
of hydrogen in the body. If you add to the water, you give carbonic acid. Carbonic acid is weak acid, easily dissociates into hydrogen ion and bicarbonate. So if you remove carbon dioxide from the body, you are removing hydrogen ion.
If you have a solution, and you remove hydrogen ions from this solution, what will be the reaction of the solution as a result?
Thank you so much.
So the net result after hyperventilation of our bodily fluids will be alkaline. Alkalosis increases synaptic transmission. And this maneuver is a practice, usually practiced by the technician that do the EEG. more than 95% of epileptic patients, when you observe their EEG trace, you'll find nothing abnormal. So you cannot diagnose.
Unless you see it.
An abnormality, a change in the EEG trace, you cannot diagnose EEG. So a clever technician, what will do in order to visualize the change, show it, he will ask the patient to hyperventilate. Please hyperventilate. The patient will start hyperventilating. After 2-3 minutes, he will develop the fit. And the EEG will show abnormal veins. Immediately indicate that this is an EEG of an epileptic patient. What other characteristic? And the last one. Sometimes we need to decrease synaptic transmission, as in each case. Anybody can give me an example that sometimes we need to decrease synaptic transmission?
تفكير
يعني تفكير يعني تفكير تخلل الترانسميشن حتى يعني تخلل نريد نخلل السيناتيك ترانسميشن تلفوا خلاص هذا في أي مجال نحتاج تحليل ما يجي مكان شلون أثرت على كيفية كل طبعا طبيب الأسنان كل كان طبيب الأسنان واحد ما راح طبيب الأسنان
طبيب
الأسنان شلون شو طبيب الأسنان محدد وهكذا اللي راح يجري على يديكم إن شاء الله عملية جراحية سواء فتح بطن سواء عملية أخرى راح يسوون جراحين إن شاء الله منكم you need to decrease synaptic transmission so that the patient will feel unconscious if you do general surgery or in case of dentistry at least partial or local local blockage. So this is the other criteria of decreasing synaptic transmission through the use of anesthetic drugs. We call these drugs as anesthetic drugs. Not any questions? No questions? Are you sure?
Thank you.
What is this figure? Cross section of the spinal cord. Of the spinal cord. Spinal cord. Remember, we have many sensory modalities. We classify them as tactile. What does tactile include? Vibration. Pressure. Very good. I said that these sensations are carried from the peripheral nerves. Into the spinal cord. Then goes through the ventral roots to reach the dorsal roots. And then from the dorsal root it will convey along the spinal cord to the branch that will eventually to the brain. If we are talking about tactile sensation, the nerve fiber pathway mediating this type of sensation will pass from the peripheral nerve immediately to the brainstem without relaxation. You remember, we have described this as rapid transport. No relaxations, no stop every now and then, so that this transmission is rapid. Because the tactile sensation is essential to maintain our posture and equilibrium. Otherwise, we might fall every now and then. So that the information carried by this system needs to be conveyed fast and rapidly. One of the reasons behind fast conduction is the little number of relay stations. Number two, if you have هناك فايل في مكان ما. وهذا الفايل يعني أمر مستعجل. وأنت تريد تطفئ هذا النار على عجل. ماذا تستخدم؟ تستخدم أنبوبة بهذا السم ولا تجيب لكم هذا الفايل حريق بالسم بقدر هذا؟ By logic, you have to use the divider. In the same sense, if you want to carry nerve signals rapidly, you have to use the right nerves. The nerves are different. There are very fine nerves and wide nerves. Again, by logic, the wide nerves should conduct nerve signals faster than the fine nerve fibers. So this is the second reason behind fast conduction. Number one, very little interruptions. Number two, wide nerves. Wide nerves. What about the other type of sensations? What do you call them? As temperature? Both cold and warm? What else? Apart from the temperature sensations, the sexual sensations are again carried by the same pathway. In this case, the peripheral nerves, this is again peripheral, will immediately, after it enters into the spinal cord, dorsal horn, will immediately end up. And a second order neuron will start. This second order neuron might be very short. That ends up shortly after the first one. To start a third neuron, that might be again short. Then it will start another long nerve fiber. This long nerve fiber will pass to the other side of the spinal cord. Then turns to the sensory region, right side of the spinal cord, and then it crosses to the other side and will ascend in the spinal cord either laterally or anteriorly. Might take one of two pathways. One of these is either anteriorly from the anterior part of the spinal cord or from the lateral aspect of the spinal cord. That's why. You remember the nomenclatures of anatomy are derived from the places. In this case, what can you call this pathway? Passing anteriorly and laterally. Anterolateral. So that the pathway mediating temperature sensation, both cold and warm, and sexual sensation is carried through the anterior lateral spinal to the thalamus,
spinal thalamic tract.
Whereas the pathway mediating tactile sensation will ascend on the same side of the spinal cord, don't cross to the other side. Of this arrangement of nerve fibers. Is it important?
Don't forget out.
Sure. It is very essential. Knowledge regarding the neurology. Sometimes a patient might be exposed to, for instance, car accident or bullet injury. And this bullet injury affecting the spinal cord. So in order to diagnose where is the injury, you have to have this knowledge that there are tracts that cross to the other side. Other tracts don't cross. Let me give you an example. If you have a patient with injury to the spinal cord at the level of, say, L2, L means lumbar, yeah, the lumbar vertebrae are 5, remember? In the second L2, there's an injury to the spinal cord. But this injury does not transect the spinal cord completely. It affects only part of the spinal cord. How can you know? Can you diagnose the level of injury? You are going to be asked by the examiner, for instance, or you are going to treat this patient. Unless you know the diagnosis, you cannot treat it. And you know, probably you might do something worse to the patient. So, to diagnose the level of injury, you have to examine the subject. Examining the patient, I mean, regarding the tactile sensation and the spinal thalamic tract. How you are going to examine the tactile sensation? By the use of, say, cotton. It piece of cotton wool and pass it across the skin and ask the patient, do you feel? You respond.
Either say yes or no.
Starting from the distal part and moving centrally.
Do you feel?
Yes.
Do you feel?
Yes.
Do you feel?
No.
So now you can localize the area of loss and overtime. If the anterior lateral tract is affected, you will no more feel temperature, whether cold or warm. On the, right side of the body, form starts in his right leg. So where should be the lesion, the space of the anterior lateral tract, which crosses? I've seen that this tract crosses to the other side. So if the loss of temperature sensations on the right side of the body, this means that the lesion on the left side, sure. Then the whole attract the pull across to the other side so that the injury will be on one side of the body and the loss of sensation will be on the opposite side. This is regarding temperature sensation. What about the attract that mediates that tactile sensation, which ascend on the same side? Then the patient lose sensation with vibration, fine touch or pressure on the left side of the body. Where is the lesion responding for?
Left side.
Left or right?
Right.
Who say right?
Right.
Who say left?
Yes.
The majority knows not. اتفقنا يا اخوان. التفاعل ضروري. التفاعل مهم. التفاعل حتى ينتج جذب. اوكي؟
ما
تسمع؟ ما تسمع؟ اوكي. صار ساعة نتكلم انت لسه ما تسمع. ما يصير الصوت لنا؟ نسمع؟ ما شاء الله تسمعني؟ يعني ليش مو حاضرين؟ المشكلة بحثنا عن حل هذا الموضوع. بحثنا عن حل.
نعم.
نعم. ما هيك؟ Not wireless. So, in the case of the dorsal column, you remember what we call this tract as dorsal column, because it passes through the dorsal columns of the spinal cord. In case of lesion of the dorsal column, the loss of sensation would be on the same side or opposite side? On the opposite. Who say opposite? Who say on the same side? Hard left for the opposite side on the same side. The tract mediating tactile sensation will ascend on the same side of the spinal cord. So that when this tract is injured, the loss of sensation will be on the same side of the body. Okay, so this is the importance of this arrangement.
Okay.
ولكن المعلومات مهمة بدونها لا يمكن أن تشخص نهائيا.
تراكس هذه تكلمنا عنها واضحة أنا مقنع ما أسمع صوتي كما أسمع صوتي أنا ما أقبلوها في الحفلات قبل جماعة الترفيه واحد يمشي بنفس النصف من السباينال كورد او بنفس النصف من الجسم والاخر يعبر الى النصف المعاكس الذي يعبر الى النصف المعاكس عندما يحصل injury of the spinal cord the loss will be on the same side of the body or opposite side
opposite
هذا حصل نهائيا بينما التراكت اللي تمر في نفس النصف من السباينال كورد نفس النصف من الجسم عندما تنقطع هذا التراك يكون loss في نفس الجهة من الجسم في نفس الجهة okay good if you move a bit higher than the spinal cord you will reach the brain stem in the brain stem these two tracks will interact there is a play station in the brain stem of both tracks what for this play station at this site specifically in the brain stem well, remember I have told you that in the brainstem there is the center that is responsible for our wakefulness. We are awake and alert about anything and everything in the surrounding because of the activity of this center that is present in the brainstem. But this center does not work spontaneously. It requires some source of excitation. What is this source of excitation? They are the sensory information coming from the surrounding. The very good example of this case. When you wake up in the early morning at 6, for instance, a.m., you will start fully alert, or you will start drowsy. This is the first instrument that I said that the Maksa'a name. So the first moment you wake up in the early morning, you will be drowsy and sleepy. But as you switch the light on, then you move to the toilet, wash your face with cold water. You'll be more alert. You start listening to the family, talking in the kitchen, especially the very kind and great mother, preparing breakfast for you. So all of these are sensory information. They are sensory signals, increasing your wakefulness, alertness. So, as a result of the interruption of these sensor signals in the brainstem, it will excite the center that is responsible for wakefulness. So we get awake. And our wakefulness will increase gradually, more and more. Yeah. If you move higher up than the brainstem, we will be in the brain now. Where in the brain is the final relay station of these sensory modalities? That is the cerebral cortex. Higher up, the highermost area of the brain is the cerebral cortex, where the sensory signals are analyzed, integrated, and processed. So the final relay station for processing, analysis, and integration of the sensory signals is in the cerebral cortex. But the cerebral cortex has got a wide surface area. If you open it up, it will spread over half square meter. Can you imagine that? Probably four of these tigers, the surface area of four of these tigers collected. This is the surface area of our cerebral cortex. So huge size of this wide area. If you have a look to the cerebral cortex, the brain of the human being, cerebrum, cerebellum, and brainstem, and spinal cord is not shown. The cerebral cortex is divided by a central fissure. Fissure? A central fissure will separate the cerebral cortex into anterior and posterior. Immediately behind this central fissure is the area of the cerebral cortex to which
send the signal are relayed to this site. We call it as post central gyrus. Gyrus means convolution. So that immediately behind the central fissure, the central sulcus, there is a convolution. We call it the post central gyrus, which is the site of primary relay station of the sensory signals arriving to the brain. What is the function of the site? Analysis of the sensory signal. Analysis and integration. But if you remember, I have told you that this is the primary. It means what? It means at this side of the cerebral cortex, the sensory signals are analyzed only partially. Only partially analyzed at this side. Like what? If something touches your hand, your left arm, your colleague tries to make jump with you with a fine cotton wool, pass it through your right arm or left arm. You'll perceive that this is something fine touching your skin. But where? In which part? It is on the left arm. The left arm is about 90 centimeters long. Which part? Is it in the hand, the forearm, the elbow, triceps, biceps muscles, the thigh, whatever. These details are not given by the primary area. It is responsible for only primary analysis. What is the type of sensation? And where is it, but not as precise as possible? It is on the left arm. But it cannot jump. This is immediately at the elbow joint. So, in this case, what do we need more than the primary? We need another area for further analysis, for more detailed analysis. So, the second area is immediately behind the post-central gyrus. We call it as the association area. Association, you know, what's the meaning? Yeah. The primary area, the primary analysis, then the information will be passed to the association area for more detailed analysis. In this area, it will tell you what kind of touch is this. It is very fine. It is cotton wool, not fingertip. Secondly, localize it precisely. It is in the index finger, not in the middle. It is in the middle phalanx of the index finger, as precise as possible. Or if it is pain sensation, it will tell you that it is pain, sharp pain, induced by something sharp like a knife. Gives you the character of pain. So this is the function of the primary and association area, or sometimes called as secondary. I think this is simple to understand. Thank you.
لا أحب أن يمشي السيشن بهذا الطريق، يعني كله جديات وكله فيزيولوجي ونيرو فيزيولوجي. نريد نفرد فالبريك شوية نضحك نبتسم، خاصة عشان السيشن طويل. المجتمعات العالم له تقاليده التي يحترمها ويحافظ عليها ويدافع عنها. في أمريكا تمشي شهر في الشارع مع سمارة تقليد، لا يوجد قانون يعني يمنع استخدام الملك، لكن الناس تعرفت على أن هذا شيء. المرة الوحيدة اللي سمعت فيها شابة شاوتينج طفل ترافيك لايت، دي كان من طفل ترافيك لايت ما بشد من يطفل ترافيك لايت. عندهم نظام أيضا متعارف عليه، أنا تمشي السيارة من هالاتجاه والسيارة من الاتجاه المقابل، ثم يتحول وحده ما تمشي وطلع ربع ساعة خسر دون النام نام السيارة. فواحد من هاي تبع واحد من هاي والأخرى انتقل إلى أبرز سايد واحد من هاي واقفة ليدي سيارتها أمامي مشى لمقابلها جهة رمانها واحد من من ليس لهم حق مرض يطر طلع الرجل او بيج بيج وخلي جيد مع المهارون وما شاهدتها لما راح يوصل البيت فما بسعدنا عليها دكتور لان بعد كان معتاد او study to know how to use it in the practicing medicine. Okay, we are accumulating, we are gathering information to make use of it at the future time in practicing medicine. So the use of studying the facts is to diagnose injuries of the spinal cord. What is the use of studying the cerebral cortex sensory areas? Sometimes a patient might fall from height, especially in kids. لا وعي هو طفل ما يدرك ولا عليه متابعة. شوف يسقط من المرتفع ويسقط نار النحان على الرأس ما يرجع من نفسه ويضع يدين أو فايش يصير؟ fracture of the skull. The fracture هذا might be depressed فراح يضرب cerebral cortex. وإذا كان في هذا المنطقة sensory area فراح يصير patient will lose, will be unable to perceive the perceived sensation. What else? The patient will be unable to judge
the
degree of pressure. يعني انت من صاحبك يضغط على ايدك بشدة معينة ثم يزيد هذه الشدة. You can detect this change in the intensity of pressure. You can detect it, that the pressure now is increasing. How? Through the cerebral cortex. If the cerebral cortex is damaged so that the patient will be no more able to detect this change in the degree of pressure. What else? Is it possible for this patient to detect vibration sensation? Not at all. Is it possible?
Yeah.
I might give you a task, a little task. إجابة موافقة. توقفها مثلا. تقدر تتوقع ايش حصل؟ بلاستيك. Very good. وزنه كم تتوقع؟ غرامات. Very good. Thank you. This task. When you handle something in hand without knowing what's this object, you can tell what is it roughly, at least roughly. Sometimes you give the patient a key. He will be able to tell you that this is a key. It is made of steel, for instance. It is not that heavy. Okay? So identifying the objects in hand and giving the nature of the substance. Sometimes you give, for instance, one of the ladies wool or silk cloth. She will immediately tell you that it's a silk. Very good. By touching the object and giving at least the weight roughly. This is the function of primary cortex. So if it is damaged, now the patient with damaged cortex will be unable to judge the weight, the shape, shape, weight and texture. Texture made of what? Thing to talk about is all of us have the ability to discriminate, to differentiate between the different degrees of sensory stimuli. The example I have given is the pressure sensation. You can perceive and detect the change in pressure if the pressure is increased on your hand. The same would say pain. It starts as mild pain, then it is increasing amount, it is moderate. Sometimes it might increase to unbearable pain, severe pain. Sometimes you might be exposed to cold weather. You describe it as cool. Cool, that's very nice. But when it is injured, mortal, it is described as cold. And if it is more cold, you might describe it as freezing. So how can we differentiate between these different grades of sensation? The different gradation depends on the number of receptors excited. If you excite with the use of just one finger, the index finger, excite pressure receptors, say 10, with a mild pressure, the brain will tell you that this is mild pressure. If you increase the pressure, pressure will spread to the nearby receptors, increasing the number of receptors excited. Probably it will become 20. If 20 number or 20 of these receptors are excited, the brain will tell you now that the pressure is more, greater than 4. If you still increase the pressure to spread to other areas, to involve the new receptors, they might be 30. The brain will tell you that now the pressure is more, greater than the second. This is the principle of gradation, of sensation. You feel the different grades of sensation through this phenomenon, increasing the number of receptors. On the few receptors, the sensation will be mild. Moderate number of receptors, the sensation will be moderate. Let's see what is the importance of this information. A special cell in pain. Pain receptors are distributed under the skin, superficially. But this does not mean that there are no pain receptors inside our bodies. There are pain receptors in our viscera. All of us have sometimes complained of stomach pain. Pain in the stomach, pain in the small intestine, pain in the ureters, or in the uterus, or wherever, on the internal structures. Now, the difference between pain receptors distributed on the skin superficially from those inside the body is in the number. There are many, so many pain receptors on the skin. You cannot put even a fine, very fine needle on the skin without creating pain. Stating what? That there's no area on the skin without pain receptor. Whereas, sometimes, you might be exposed to a patient, an old man, probably 70 years old, with a problem in the abdomen that requires surgical intervention. And the patient is severely ill, is toxic. You cannot give him general anesthesia. He cannot withstand. He might die because of the general anesthesia, not because of his illness. So that what the surgeon will do in this case, will you send the patient home back? Impossible. Why would you? So in this case, what do you suggest as a surgeon? Now, put it in Javahi. Yeah, but it's a very sad toxic matter of the original. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you, this group. So you have to shift from the general anesthesia to the local anesthesia. Local anesthesia will give you blocking of the synaptic transmission, same way as the general anesthesia, but now localized. You need to cut through the skin. So you have to anesthetize the skin and open, painless. If you are exposed to the intestine, believe me, you can cut through the intestine with the scalpel, the knife of the surgeon. That is very sharp and small. You can cut through the small intestine without inducing any pain or significant pain in this patient who is awake. In our example, patient is 70 years old, cannot be given general anesthesia, local anesthesia. That means that the patient is awake. You can't talk to the patient. Operating on his intestine and cut the intestine without the patient not knowing what's going on. What does this mean? It means that the number of pain receptors in the viscera and the intestine, for example, very few. It remains a logical question. All of you, I'm sure, sometimes you complain of severe abdominal pain. Severe, that might bend you. And how can I match these two controversies? A little number of receptors and a severe pain. اتفقنا قبل قليل ان الجريديشن يعتمد على ماذا؟ نمبر اوف ريسبتورز. Exactly so. Thank you so much. So despite the presence of only few pain receptors in the intestine, but if you excite wide area, then a large number of receptors will be excited and the pain might be severe. This is exactly what happens when you come on anybody complain of severe abdominal pain. This indicates that a wide area of the small intestine, for instance, is excited, complaining of spasm, so that the pain is severe. Thank you so much. Any questions? In the spinal cord, we have two paths, as your colleague mentioned. One of these paths ascends on the same side, we call it ipsilateral, means on the same side. If this tract is injured, the loss of sensation mediated by this tract will be on the same side. So that if the patient loses fine touch, vibration, and pressure sensation on his right side of the body, this means that this tract, which we call a dorsal column, is injured on the right side of the spinal cord. Get it? Just give me a moment. Yeah. You get it for the dorsal column? Yeah, I think it's easy to understand. For the anterior lateral tract, this tract mediates temperature sensation, both cold and warm, and sexual sensations. This tract will cross to the other side of the spinal cord. When it enters from the right side, it will eventually be carried on the left side of the spinal cord. So that if this tract on the left side of the spinal cord is cut or damaged or injured, what will be the loss of temperature sensation on the same side of the body, or injured on the opposite. Yes, please. Okay, thank you so much again.
Who was the incubator for that? Caliph of God.
The cause of epilepsy. Epilepsy is a disease of the central nervous system as a result of excessive discharge of the neurons of the brain and excessive synaptic transmission, so that the nerve signals to the muscles, its little muscles in the brain, and making them contracting vigorously, strongly. After 4 to 5 minutes, the amount of neurotransmitter stored at the nerve ending will be exhausted, will be finished, will be used, no more, because its synthesis, the new synthesis of new molecules, will take time. This time, still, as a result of abortion and exhaustion of these neurotransmitter molecules, the neurotransmitter will be much blocked then, and the fit will end up.
دكتور بعدين راح تنعاد هذه يعني راح تصنع من جديد هاي
الترانسفورمر شور ذا نيو بروسيس اوف مولكيولز ذات ار يوزد ويل بي ريشن سايز اوكي نيو مولكيولز ويل بي ريشن سايز انستيد اوف ان از ا ريزلت اوف يوزج ذا ار جوين تو بي هايدرولايز نو مور بي يوزد نو فاشن